If you would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. What our nation is going through right now is very sad. And I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about the unnecessary, tragic death of George Floyd, a man who had just turned his life around to Christ, apparently, is what I had heard, and became a follower of Jesus. What a tragedy. And then the tragic and unnecessary riots that are plaguing our cities today. By the way, as I mentioned last week, I know of no prophet that has predicted this coronavirus the way it turned out. I mean, some have kind of done some gymnastics with words and prophecies they have given and have had to stretch that, but nothing specific. But I have heard many prophets, even those I know personally, who have seen in the spirit our cities burning across America. And so we really need to pray for our nation. But today on this Pentecost Sunday, we Pentecostals of all people should be the ones paving the way for racial harmony and justice. The title of my message today is The Pentecost Pave. The Pentecost Pave, P-A-V-E. Merriam-Webster defines the word pave as to lay or cover with material that forms a firm, level surface for travel. And we often use the phrase, to pave the way. To pave the way means to prepare a smooth, easy way to facilitate development. So today I'm going to talk about the Pentecost Pave. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would anoint this word that you put on my heart, that I feel is on your heart, and that you want us who are here, those who are listening online, to hear as well. So Lord, anoint this word. And thank you, God, that you have given us every resource and all the power we need to be those that pave a way, God, pave a way for a move of your Holy Spirit in our nation. That we as Pentecostals have that power that you've made available to us. So Lord, we believe today. We believe in your word. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Acts chapter 2, very familiar passage to many people. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, let's begin there. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We in the Assemblies of God are a part of a worldwide branch of Christianity known as the Pentecostal movement. It is the fastest growing segment of Christianity in the world. It is an orthodox, fundamental, biblical faith, Christian faith. We share all the critical doctrines with other Christians such as Baptists and Nazarenes and Wesleyans, conservative Methodists, etc. What might make us distinct from some denominations is that we have a firm, unwavering faith that signs, wonders, and miracles are still for today. That those things that we have seen, supernatural things that we read in the Bible, are still available to us today. We believe in something called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is the doorway into the supernatural faith, and which happened to the disciples in the passage that we just read. And this baptism in the Holy Spirit is not baptism in water. Those are two different things, okay? The baptism in the Holy Spirit is getting dipped in the supernatural power of God. And a sign which indicates that you have experienced this what happens to you is you're given the gift of tongues, which is mentioned here. And I'm going to explain the significance of that and the importance of that in a little bit. Because the gift of tongues itself is so significant to what a Pentecostal is. A lot of people say, ah, tongues, that's whatever, you know, not so important. But it's very fundamental to who we are supposed to be. So stick with me. It's very important. Don't turn your radio off if you've heard that this is not of God. Listen to this, because this is very powerful in this day. We need this power in what is going on in our nation. Pentecostal faith transcends denominational barriers. Pentecostal faith transcends racial barriers. Pentecostal faith transcends economic, cultural, language, and just about every other barrier that man has set up. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. That's what the Spirit does. He breaks our walls down. You see, the modern Pentecostal movement really exploded from an exciting place. A place where races, nations, languages, people with all kinds of denominational labels all mixed together in a river of God's manifest presence. In the passage that we just read, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together or in one accord in one place. That's so significant. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Let me take you from that passage 1900 years later. It was a little mission on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, a historic spot where Gene and I were able to literally stand on that spot where this a mighty move of the Holy Spirit happened a little over 100 years ago. The presiding elder that was over this revival was a black preacher, blind in one eye, named William Seymour. And he served by divine appointment rather than successful political manipulation. The mission, the Azusa Street mission, had an integrated leadership and congregation. And although it was in a time when the mixing of races was absolutely unthinkable, there was an amazing unity, or white, black, yellow, rich, poor. Everybody was together in that revival. And they were experiencing, they all came to experience this fullness of the Holy Spirit. There was a hunger. They had heard about it. And it drew people, all kinds of people, and they were all welcome. It was a restoration of the power experienced 1900 years earlier, depicted in our opening scripture verses here on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost comes from the word pente, 50, 50 days after Passover. It was one of the feasts of Israel, was the feast of Pentecost. And all the nations gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate that feast on that day 1900 years ago. But then, a little over a hundred years ago, there was a kind of a new Pentecost that happened, or refreshing. And Frank Bartleman, who wrote a book about it and recorded all the events of that revival, he said a powerful phrase. He said that in this revival, the color line was washed away by the blood. In this revival, the color line was washed away by the blood. What blood? The blood of Jesus, of course. And it reflected what happened in Jerusalem back in what we read about in Acts chapter 2. Watch what happens. Acts chapter 2, again, going on from verse 5. It says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone had heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not those who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. So there are people from the whole then known world were gathered for Pentecost there. Even as far as North Africa and as far east as Asia and what is modern day Iran. All these visitors came, verse 11, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatsoever could this mean? Whatever could this mean? So this amazing thing was happening. The Holy Spirit fell upon the group. There was 120 of Jesus' disciples that were together in an upper room. The Holy Spirit came down, manifested with various signs, but they went out speaking in languages they didn't learn. They were just speaking in languages, and the people from all these different nations heard that their languages being spoken, and what was being spoken were praises to God. Now, 1900 years later, from the beginning of the Azusa Street Revival, people of English American, Irish American, German American, Swiss American, Spanish American, Chinese American, Mexican American, Jewish American, Scot American, African American, all of those backgrounds all participated in the Azusa Street Revival services without regard for any of the differences. Then the whole world started coming, not just the Americans of different cultures and races, but then people came from all around the world to experience this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was in that revival that Charles Mason, head of the primarily African-American Church of God in Christ, came to that revival and embraced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was going on and moved the whole denomination into the fullness of the Holy Spirit that became a Pentecostal denomination. And so later, this is very interesting, and a lot of people don't know this, that later on, from the multitude who were kicked out of their white churches because people started believing, wow, that's the supernatural works of God. They started believing that God still heals, that God still does miracles, that there's this gift of tongues and this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, some churches didn't like that, and they didn't like the exuberance. They didn't like this stuff they didn't understand, even though it's in the Bible. And a lot of people got kicked out of their churches. And so they had to form their own little churches. And people started getting called into ministry and getting called into missions. But there was nobody to ordain them. And so in 1914, finally, a whole group of all these people from all around the country met in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and they formed the Assemblies of God and formed this new movement. And so what was interesting, though, is up until that time, when there was no denomination that was able to ordain missionaries and pastors, well, you know what the Church of God in Christ did? They said, come to us. We will lay hands on you. We will ordain you. We will bless you. Because there were certain things of official ordination that pastors needed to purchase property, to go on certain travel discounts, on train discounts, and things like that at that time to travel, the missionaries and such, if they had an official ordination. And so what you saw was an incredible thing in the most racist time in our nation, that you had people, black pastors, anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost, laying hands on white men and women who were called into the ministry and prayed over them and ordained them and blessed them. Wow. And so we need to understand that our background, we owe so much to the Church of God in Christ as an Assembly of God church, a primarily African-American denomination. Sadly, we've gone the other way racially. We're almost exclusively white, but I know our movement's trying to do things to change this, and it really is fundamental to our faith that we have a great diversity. And we are seeing that, actually. We are seeing the fastest growing churches, Assembly of God churches in America, are ethnic churches. But look at what happens. So in case you or anyone who's watching or listening online still doesn't understand this idea of Pentecostal, what's Pentecostal? Again, we're a fundamental evangelical Christianity but one that preaches that there's an added dimension of power available to the Christian life that comes from something called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what we read about, Acts chapter 2. Now, these people in Acts chapter 2, they were believers. Okay, they were Christians. They were saved. But Jesus told them to do something before they would even go out into the world as witnesses. And we see that in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5 says, "And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, met with them. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then in verse 8 it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, even unto the ends of the earth. You will receive power to be my witnesses. As I took some time off last week, I have a piece of land up in Jeddo that our family has had for many, many years. And it's an L-shaped property on Babcock and Jeddo. Now, on the Babcock side, about 5 years ago, I really built a nice area, driveway, and a landing pad for my camper, not knowing I would be pastor here one day. I just thought I'd come up there, you know, sometimes when I had some time, set up the camper and just be on my property up in this beautiful area. And so I've been spending the last 5 years just continuing to keep trails going and maintaining that, even though I don't use it so much. But of course, it was a great lifesaver when I became pastor here, and we didn't have a house here yet, and we were trying to sell our house in Ann Arbor. Well, we would come on weekends. Some of you remember, we'd come and we'd stay up in our camper there. Well, a couple weeks ago, my daughter comes to visit, and we're hanging out, and she loves our property up there. And she always tells me, "Dad, someday I want to bring my friends and go camping." And so I said, "Well, when you come on up, let's go and explore." So we went up and I said, "You know what? I'm really curious how the Jeddo side of the property is. I want to check that out. Haven't really been there at all, hardly, in the last few years." And so we went over to that side of the property. And years ago, my dad made an arrangement with the farmer across the street. The farmer built this beautiful driveway down, and in the middle is this valley with a creek, and it's a forest, it's woods, it's very beautiful. And this creek is just gorgeous. And so I kind of call it my little piece of heaven on earth. And so this farmer, he said, "If I build a driveway down into your valley, can I use it to get water for my farm?" And my dad, he was always so good with all the neighbors there. He said, "Of course." So anyway, I went and I see that this driveway was actually still in good shape. And I'm talking, this was 20 years ago, and it was still in decent condition, just trees had fallen over. And I said, "Stephanie, look, this is beautiful. We could use this. And I have a truck now. I have a four-wheel drive. I think I could actually go down into my little heaven on earth, into my woods there by the creek." And so the next few days, I would go over there every morning. Gene laughs at me because I said, "Gene, I'm going to go and have a prayer time." "And so what do you do with the chainsaw?" I'm going to pray and use my chainsaw. So anyway, cleared out that driveway. And as I cleared out, I drove my truck down and I was there. But then it was all jungle. And then I saw a little path between two trees here. And I said, "Well, I could go 5 feet farther if I clear that out." Came the next day, cleared that out. And I said, "Oh, I could go a little bit farther between these two trees," cleared that out, and so on and so forth, until Sunday and Monday last week, I spent like 12 hours there. Gene was like, "Where? I thought you died or something," because I was off the grid, but I was so obsessed with building a road, I wanted to get to the creek. And so I'm literally building a road in my woods. And consequently, I got poison ivy all over me. And I'm sick as a dog. I mean, it's just, I'm like, we have to have an associate pastor because I did not want to be here this morning, but I'm feeling good right now. Holy Ghost, I just, the anointing, the worship, I actually don't feel anything. I'm not itching, but I was so obsessed. I knew what poison ivy was, the vines around the trees and with the little hairs and stuff, but I'm like chopping this stuff and cutting it and moving it. And just, I was on a mission. Well, there was one day when I forgot my chainsaw. And I was down there, and I'm like, I'm not going to drive all the way back here and get my chainsaw. And I really wanted to clear out a little bit more. And I did have my little pruning saw. And so I pulled out my little pruning saw. I'm like, I started chopping trees down with this pruning saw. So, you know, I'd have this tree about this thick, and I'd just start. There are some that were a lot wider than this. Now, a lot of Christians are operating in their Christian faith like this. And you can do it. I mean, I did take several trees down this way. But I was sore, tired. It took me forever. Now, either I could do that, or I need the power. Oh, I need the power, Lord. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit. I've been seeking. I felt it's been hard. I've been seeking, Pastor, I've been seeking the baptism forever. I've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's happening. Didn't even sweat. But you know, a lot of times, people seek the baptism. They seek, they struggle. Lord, I've been asking. 10 years I've been asking for the gift of tongues. Lord, what's going on? Don't give up. Don't give up, amen? So there's a dimension that the baptism in the Holy Spirit brings to your Christian life. So, you say, Pastor, I'm already filled with the Spirit. Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Now, more often than not, and I'm going to wrap up here, when we talk about Pentecost, we often associate it to power like I just did. It's very real and very important to being an effective Christian. But what that power is used for is more important. It's not just having power, but it's having power to do things like breaking barriers. And this is what I'm coming to here as my main point. This is fundamental to the Pentecostal faith and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The sign or the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and what happened in Acts chapter 2 is they spoke in tongues. That is languages they didn't learn. Now watch this. Why would God choose such a strange manifestation like tongues to be the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The reason is that it illustrates what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. It enables people to overcome barriers. It enables people to break through barriers. It illustrates God's desire for us to cross cultures, to break out of what is familiar into unknown territory. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The gift of tongues illustrates those ends of the earth. Hallelujah. The God who can make us supernaturally speak a language we never learned is able to shatter any barrier. Come on. Any barrier. That's what the gift of tongues illustrates. Later in Acts chapter 10, Gentiles, that is non-Jews, they received saving faith in Jesus. And Acts 10, 45 and 46 says, and those of the circumcision, the Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And later in Jerusalem, some of the Jews were outraged. How can Gentiles, how can pagans receive blessings from the one true God of Israel, our God? How could those strangers, how could those oppressors, how can those pagans receive salvation? Well, friends, the Gentile barrier was broken. Hallelujah. Now Jew and Gentile would worship Jesus Messiah together. So, Pentecostal faith, the Pentecostal pave is that we should pave the way. It's a pave the way faith with power to overcome and break barriers. In the restoration of this baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, supernatural signs and wonders and healings, there was an amazing unity between all types of people, as I mentioned earlier. It was unmentionable in that time in American history for such a mixture of races to take place. There were prominent preachers of that time that were saying, and I've read their quotes, there were some prominent preachers who were saying and even calling the Azusa Street Revival the last great vomit of Satan. Because of the mixture of the races, there's a last great vomit of Satan. See, that's what could happen. That could happen if you don't have that fullness of the Spirit working in you. Worldly prejudices can sneak in and take over. But at Azusa Street, another street was being paved. The Pentecostal pave was going on. There was a paving of the way for peoples of all types to come together in the worship of God and the evangelism of all people and of all nations. We, of all people, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, should be the ones paving the way for racial unity and justice. This understanding of the gift of tongues and its relevance came to me in my seminary years, and it was foundational to me ever since. I have such a deep love for different ethnicities and different races and different nations. I cry when I think about the incredible tapestry that God weaves together when all different kinds of people come together, all the nations, all the races, in Jesus Christ. It's an amazing, beautiful tapestry. And what happened in Acts was a reversal of what happened in the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, when God had to confuse the languages and divide the people. God did a similar miracle in Acts and instead gave the gift of tongues, and people heard the gospel in their own languages, and it was a sign that it was now time to bring the world together under Jesus. Not just bring the world together, but bring the world together under Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, we Pentecostals, and I believe that we will not fully be what God wants Port Huron Assembly of God to be until we become one of the most diverse churches in this community. I believe God wants us to pave the way for a diversity. We need to see more different kinds of people. Oh, hi, I miss my Africans. If you're watching, Jabulo and Rati from Canada, we miss you so much. Our precious couple Africans haven't been able to come. But I so value our different groups and different peoples. And I believe this is apostolic. To break barriers is an apostolic thing. And I believe God has called us to be an apostolic church. Hallelujah. So, friends, let me close with this scripture. Later in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter, emboldened the same Peter who the little girl said, aren't you one of his disciples? And he said, I don't know him. And started cursing. That same Peter. Next thing you know, he's standing in front of thousands of people. And he says this. He says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off. As many as the Lord our God will call. That's us. That's us. For the promise is for you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. So if that, my friends, is the Pentecostal pave. Let's pave the way with our love for those who are different from us, with our concern and our care for those who are suffering injustice because of prejudices that don't belong in our nation. They're just simple. It's just evil. It's just evil prejudice that has no foundation in any kind of truth. We need to set the pace and be those that set the pave as well, do the pave. And that all starts with you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's impossible in this world of sin to love people that are different from us without the Spirit of God, without Jesus. And so, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, whether you're here in our group tonight, today, or those out watching online, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen by many witnesses. And the Bible says that if we confess Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So if you need to do that, if you need to do that today, would you just ask him? In fact, would you pray this with me right now? If you're online, if you're listening to this later, if you're here in your car, if you need to pray this, pray it in your heart, pray it out loud, however. But just right now, ask Jesus in, because that's where it all starts. So Father, just say this. Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me. Come into my life. And I make you my Lord. Amen. That's it. It's not following a bunch of rules. It's not joining a certain denomination. It's inviting Jesus. And then, it says, then comes the Holy Spirit. And some of you need the power. And you haven't experienced the power. You haven't been able to walk in the power. It's just like salvation. You don't earn it. You don't, you know, be righteous for 5 days in a row, perfectly righteous, and then the Holy Spirit comes. No, it's faith. It's simply asking and say, you ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit because he's the baptizer. It says here that he shall baptize you. John the Baptist said that he shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And right now, I just want to take a moment for you to ask him in, whether it's quietly or silently. Just say right now, Lord Jesus, I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of you. I want to be filled with your love. I want to be filled with your power. I don't want to be trying to do things with hand tools when, God, you've given me power tools. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I want it all. Fill me up, would you? Hallelujah, Lord. I believe. I believe, Lord, I need you in these last days. I need your power. Fill me up, Lord. Oh, God, I ask right now that you would fill those who are seeking you, who are pursuing you. Lord, that they would have to wait no longer, but even today, whether it's right now, online, whether it's in their cars, whether it's later tonight, God, whether it's tomorrow. Lord, I pray that soon and quickly you would grant to each and every one this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we can become those who pave the way for a great move of God in our community and in our nation. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, just praise him right now. Just thank him and praise him. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, God. We love you. We praise your name, God. Oh, it's real. It's real. It's something you can feel. It's something that just, oh, I'm telling you, I came here this morning. I said, God, I can't do this. I feel horrible. And when we worshiped the Lord and I got filled with the Holy Ghost again, and I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to trust I'm going to be feeling fine when this is all done too. Hallelujah. You know, it's so good to have Tom Seppo here with us. And Tom, you are an example of one who breaks barriers. And we got somebody, I was so excited when I heard you were coming today because I thought, wow, if there's anybody who breaks barriers, it's Tom Seppo, as he brings together believers from all denominations and we worship together and we pray in City Hall. Would you come and close us in prayer, Tom, and anything you have to share?
I want to affirm Pastor Joe's message today, how powerful that the Spirit of God wants to do through each of us as we yield to him, humble ourselves before him, and he will raise us up for such a time as this. One way that we could practically put this into demonstration, what Pastor has brought out today, this Thursday at noon, we're going to have a peaceful march from SC4 to the MOC building. So I want to encourage, if you can, to be a part of this peaceful march because of the injustices that have been done in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that we want to show solidarity between blacks and whites and minorities, that we can stand together. And as Pastor brought forth that this coming together of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, it brings together all nations, all flesh come together. And so this is a practical demonstration of what the Spirit of God wants to do in our community. So let's, as we pray even, want to challenge you that if you have not been fully filled, if you will, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I'm telling you, you can do it there in your cars at night when you put your head on the pillow. The Spirit of God, it says, rivers of living water shall pour forth from your innermost parts of your beings. God wants to do great things through us all. So, Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that has went forth today. We pray that the power of your Spirit would be manifest within us today, tomorrow, this week, as we reopen, Lord, the city, as we reopen the state, as we reopen the nation, as we reopen the world. You said to pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Lord, that that Spirit that has been outpoured will continue to pour forth from us, and that we will see signs and wonders that will follow them that believe. We believe. We're believers. We thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we will go forth from this place transformed by the power of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here. Not only at Port Huron Assembly, Lord, but throughout the entire Blue Water area. Move, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, upon us as we cry out to you and as we humble ourselves before you. We ask, Lord, this in the most powerful name of Jesus. And everybody declared by saying, Amen.